Now, freedom of speech is a cornerstone of Western democracy, but our next guest believes the liberal democracies have become almost as terrified of free speech as communist states. In his new book, You Can't Read This Book, Censorship in the Age of Freedom, Nick Cohen passionately argues that censorship is alive and well. And Nick Cohen joins us on the line from London this morning. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, John.
Now, what does it say about freedom of speech today when you can end up dead just drawing a cartoon, and when authors are forced to self-censor through fear of violence, financial ruin, or death?
Yeah, like I say, I don't think it's as bad as it was under communism. I think your listeners will be laughing a bit if they thought that Australia was like Stalin's Soviet Union.
What is your concern then?
It's odder than that. It's odder because on the one hand we've got the web, we've got the net. You know, I can talk to you in Australia just like that. You can talk to me in London. It all seems fine. On the other hand, there are all these pressures on people. I mean, you mentioned one, which is probably in my world of the sort of Western liberal media by far the greatest pressure. That is fear of radical Islam. You know, you can mock Christianity as much as you like. You can mock its founding myths and all the rest of it, but you will never do it to Islam for fear of violence. But then there's this odd thing that you can never admit that. You never tell the truth to your readers because there's this great pose that journalists and artists and actors and academics have that we're kind of like dissidents in a true dictatorship. We tell truth to power. We're brave, we're edgy. And of course we are, with things that won't hurt us. Like, you know, you can say what you want, I imagine, about the Australian government or Julia Gillard, and no one's going to, you know, the Australian secret police won't come and arrest you. But if you start mocking the founding myths of Islam, you know, you might get killed, so people shut up. But they won't say they're shutting up. So that's one side of it. My book is actually
Before you leave that subject, Nick, surely the Salman Rushdie case was covered reasonably prominently by all media outlets.
Oh, sure, yes, but who's been the next Salman Rushdie? You know, if you were a young author of Muslim origin in Australia and you utterly rebelled, as young Christian, young Jewish authors have utterly rebelled against their parents' religion, against their community's taboos, and you wanted to write a book satirizing the legends of the life of the Prophet Muhammad, would you do it? You probably wouldn't, actually. I mean, if you did, no Australian publisher would publish you. You know, Salman Rushdie only has to happen once. There's one Salman Rushdie. There are no successors, certainly in the West, because you know, publishers have a well-grounded fear of a bomb in an office, or you know, footsteps hurrying behind them in the street, and they don't want to go through that all again. Salman Rushdie's publishers didn't realise that when they published his panic verses, what was about to happen next. If they've had, they've made very clear since then they wouldn't have done it.
Mm. So who are the 21st century enemies of free speech? You're suggesting the Islamic faith is one.
Yeah, well, not the Islamic faith. There's all types of Islamic faith. Because there's all types of Christian faith and Jewish faith and Hindu faith. It's, radical Islam in the West is the... There are all kinds of paramilitary forces. I'm talking from Europe, where Anders Breivik just slaughtered members of the Norwegian Labour Party, and his motives were rather Islamophobic. He got all tied up in that. But the only one that targets authors in the West and writers and artists is radical Islam. If we were in India, you would be, and I would be, very worried about Hindu nationalism, which threatens artists, threatens writers. It's not something we talk about very much here. There's that. But there's another thing which is harder to pin down. You say radical Islam, you know, that's, you know, your listeners know what I'm talking about. It's the growing power of money in the world and the growing weakness of publishers, of authors, of book publishers, of newspaper publishers, who are being wiped out, really, by the new technologies, by the web. They can't make money. And so even in Australia, things like libel laws in somewhere like Australia start to matter very much. You know, you want to take on a big magnet in Australia or foreign magnet, will you have to put aside hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to fight a libel case? Can you afford to do that? Technology is democratizing, but the law isn't. The law still assumes that everyone's got a lot of money, when increasingly publishers, even if I may say so, John, broadcasters don't have the money to defend investigative journalism anymore.
Well, I think that's in part true. As you say, the publishing model is broken, and what it's quite going to be replaced by is uncertain. So what you're suggesting is that reporting is done with perhaps less care, fewer resources, and is less risk-taking.
Well, it's more the final point that bothers me. It's risk-taking. You know, certainly in Britain, and I'm talking from London, where, you know, there are Russian oligarchs all over the centre of town. I know from personal experience that the lawyers, newspaper lawyers, are very wary about writing about Russian oligarchs, even though a lot of them, frankly, earn their fortunes by criminal or semi-criminal means. We've just had in Britain a book, there's a book being published by a very respected American author, probably one of the best journalists in America. He works in New York on Scientology. It's not being published in Britain because of the libel laws here. And the publishers think, well, this book will only make us, I'm sorry, I can't put this into dollars, but it will probably only make us, you know, £20,000, £30,000. If we had to fight a libel case, that could cost us £1 million. It's just not worth taking the risk. And the Scientologists all will sue, like the oligarchs all will sue. So, I mean, one of the points of my book is to get away a bit from this notion, which is understandable after the invention of the web, because it's such an amazing technology. It's a revolutionary technology. I'm not trying to knock it. The web sets you free. You know, you don't have to worry about all those boring old things like freedom of speech and freedom of the press and liberalism versus authoritarianism, because whatever happens, the web will get all around that. It doesn't really.
What a fascinating problem. I mean, you do have to have some sort of libel laws, don't you? I mean,
my main concern, particularly speaking to, you know, Australian listeners, who've, you know, got from Britain, our legal system, they've got to be cheap. Money shouldn't be a barrier to the law. So, look, I'm not suggesting for a moment you do this, John, but suppose you absolutely libel the listener to your program. You describe him or her in the most disgraceful terms, and it was all untrue. Your listeners would be able to sue you without thinking this is going to set me, but, you know, I've got a risk. I don't know, $100,000, $200,000. Equally, you know, a writer in a small magazine in Sydney, or just someone writing a blog who writes something about a powerful person in Sydney, if that powerful person objects, they ought to be able to defend the truth of their writing without thinking, you know, I've got to pretend what I wrote was a lie because I can't begin to fight a court case. What the web has done is democratize writing, democratize the press. And even though I work in the old media, I work in that, of course I do. How can you not do that? But the law is not keeping up with that. So my fear is that in some ways the early 21st century, rich and powerful people might get a slightly easier time in the early 21st century than they did in the late 20th, because writers, journalists just don't have the resources to defend their journalism.
Mm. Well, it is an interesting conundrum, Nick, and thank you for raising it with us this morning. I wish you all the best. The book is called You Can't Read This Book, Censorship in the Age of Freedom, and we've been joined by its author, Nick Cohen.